Praise God. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you for today. And you are indeed great. Father, we are in awe of you. Father, we praise your name. Glory and honor and majesty. We give to you, Lord God. For you are the way maker. You are the promise keeper. You are the light in our darkness. You have never quit on us. You have never left us. You have never forsaken us. You have never given up on us, God. And as your people, we are full of gratitude this morning. God, we praise your name. And Lord, today I pray that you would open our hearts. Open our minds to hear your word and your truth. Give us the courage, Father, to follow where you lead. Give us the courage to leave the things of this world behind. To follow you, God. That our life might declare how great you are. We love you. We praise you. And we thank you today. And we pray in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Good morning. You may be seated. Well, good morning. My name is Pastor Paul, and I am the lead pastor here at Crosspoint. And it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. And I'm excited. I can see that all of you are getting over your daylight savings time hangover. A little bit more excited today. A little bit more with it. And so I am so pumped. We are continuing our series today that we kicked off last week on the Holy Spirit. And last week we looked at Scripture and we looked at the triune nature of God. That God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Co-equal and co-eternal, and how God is at work in our life. And we began to explore the work of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to continue that. This morning we're going to look at two important roles of the Holy Spirit in our life. Two important roles. There are several things that the Holy Spirit does for us as believers and as people. And today we're going to look at just two of those. And the first one is this. One of the important roles of the Holy Spirit is to draw people to the Lord and to repentance. To draw people to the Lord and to repentance. That the Holy Spirit of God is drawing all mankind to the Lord. To the truth and the saving knowledge that God longs for a relationship with us. The Scriptures are very clear in John chapter 16, verse 8. If you have your Bibles, feel free to turn there this morning. But in John 16, verse 8, it says this, "And when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." See, the Holy Spirit is what convicts us and lets us know that we are far off, that we are separated from God. The Holy Spirit is what lets us know that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory and the goodness of the character and nature of God. It is the Holy Spirit that is drawing all mankind to that moment of decision, to when we can continue how we were living, or we could turn and repent and surrender our life to the Lord. That's the first most important role today that we're going to talk about. And then the second is this. The second role of the Holy Spirit is to indwell and to transform believers into Christ-likeness. The second role of the Holy Spirit is to indwell us, is literally to come into us, to move in, to come and be a part of us, to squat in our lives, right? To indwell us and then to begin to transform us from the inside out to be more like God. And the Scriptures talk about there in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says this, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, all of you surely know you are God's temple, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. That when you turn and repent and surrender your life to Christ, that the Holy Spirit takes up dwelling in us, and we become God's temple. See, prior to that, going back in the Old Testament, the temple represented the building that King Solomon had made. And that was the place where the Spirit of the Lord rested on the other side of the veil in the Holy of Holies. And he's saying that when we give our lives to Christ, we become the temple. We become the dwelling, not in buildings, not in things, but in us. And then 2 Corinthians 3:16. So we looked at 1 Corinthians 3:16. 2 Corinthians 3:16 and 18, it says this. But whenever somebody turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. See, going back to that imagery of the temple. And in the temple, there was this great veil. He says that when we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And there's no more separation between us and God because he indwells us. In verse 17, it says, and for the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That we have been set free because of what Christ has done for us and by the coming and indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And verse 18 goes on and it says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can now see and reflect the glory of God. That we can see, but now more importantly, not only can we see God in all of his glory, we begin to reflect it. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed and transformed into his glorious image. See, when we surrender our life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells us. And his purpose is to help us become that new creation in Christ and to help us to live and to choose to follow God's way for our lives. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at how that works out. And what does that look like in the lives of people who have listened to the drawing of the Holy Spirit, surrendered their life to God, been filled by the Holy Spirit, and are now being transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And so we're going to dive into some scripture this morning. We're just going to see, how does that play out in our lives as men and women who are followers of Jesus? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The words are going to be up here on the screen behind me. And if you don't have a Bible, we have a stack of them in the back of the room. That's our free gift to you today. If you don't have one, we would love for you to have a copy of God's Word. And if you do have one, feel free to turn to Galatians chapter 5, follow along with me, or follow along on your Crosspoint app. But listen to what Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13, says to us this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church that meets in this city, and he says this. He goes, you, brothers and sisters, were called to be free. He starts off and he says, hey, you guys were called to be free. Now, freedom is something that most of us here, we have had the blessing and the privilege to grow up and live in the freest nation in the world. And so we've grown up with freedom. We haven't had to live in bondage. We haven't had to live under oppressive regimes and governments. We haven't had to live in fear. We have gotten to live in freedom. But that's not the way it was back then. And the Apostle Paul is writing to them and he says, listen, you brothers and sisters, you were called to be free, whereas we've had freedom. But then listen to the next thing he says. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. You see, what had happened was as these early followers of Jesus understood that they were no longer under the law, they were no longer oppressed, they had freedom in Christ, they started to go crazy with their freedom. And it says that they used their freedom, he's saying, to indulge in the flesh. Anything and everything they could imagine, all in the name of freedom. Now, you know what's crazy? These words were written almost 2,000 years ago. But it seems like it could be ripped from the headlines of America today. We are living in a world where everyone and everything is indulging in our freedom. And we think just because we should. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he's saying, listen, you guys have been set free in Christ, but don't use your freedom as an excuse to sin. And he says these words, he says, but rather serve one another humbly in love. So we're using our freedom to do whatever we want. And the Apostle Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to a church. And I know that's hard for you to believe, right? That people who are in church could be getting it so wrong. That people who have freedom could be expressing it so poorly. But the Apostle Paul writes, he says, listen, this is what you should do with your freedom. You should serve one another. Instead of being self-serving, you should serve one another. Instead of being all about yourself, you should be committed to be about one another. And how should you serve one another? With arrogance and pride and ego? No, he says with humility. Like, you shouldn't make a big deal. It should just be out of the overflow. Instead, I feel like we live in a world where when you do something great, it's like, dude, let me take a selfie and put it online for everybody to see so they know how humble and amazing I am and what a servant. In fact, I saw the video of this influencer on social media. Now, for those of you under 30 or so, you know what an influencer is. But for everybody else in the room, an influencer is somebody who does a lot of posting on social media because they're unemployed, right? And they're trying to make money by posting stuff online and getting people to watch it and like it. Okay? Good. So anyway, so I saw this video, and somebody was videoing the influencer videoing. And here's what the influencer was doing in her video. She was picking up trash on the beach and doing a beach cleanup. And there's her friend videoing her, and the wind's blowing. And she's like, save the planet. And then these other people are videoing her. And when they got done doing their influencer video, she left the trash bag there, and they left the beach. Where's the serve one another humbly in love? We're doing all this stuff for appearance, but it's not genuine. And the Apostle Paul, he's again writing to Christians, to Christ followers. He says, man, you're using your freedom to indulge in all kinds of crazy. But what you should be doing is serving one another humbly in love. And he said, verse 14, he goes, because the law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's never been a time where I've woken up and I said, you know what I would love? I would love if people were mean and rude and arrogant and gossiped me and slandered me and lied to me and cheated me and stole from me. And I bet none of you woke up today wanting that. I bet there's never a day in your life where you want people to badmouth you, speak ugly to you, steal what you've worked hard for, lie to your face, stab you in the back, cheat on you. No one would want that. And yet the Apostle Paul is saying, because we should be loving one another as we want to be loved. And I love this because verse 15, here it comes. He goes, because if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Now again, remember, who's he writing to? The church. Almost 2,000 years ago. But it's so poignant for where I think we find ourselves today. See, we're free, so why do we hurt one another? See, freedom in life is giving. It's giving and serving, and it's putting others before ourselves. I mean, those are the very words of Jesus, right? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. full of love for one another. Not hatred, not anger, jealousy, right? He's saying this is what we should do. And then I love it because he's going to go on a little bit further in the next few verses, and he's going to tell us what it is that we're to be like and how we are to live and what it's supposed to look like in our lives. And he's going to contrast what it looks like when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life and when the Holy Spirit is not at work in your life. See, because we talked about those two important roles, just to draw us to repentance and salvation, but then it was to work to transform us from the inside out. So let's keep going on here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Listen to what it says. So I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. See, the Apostle Paul is telling us that when we give our lives to Christ, there is now a conflict because we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of the living God, and we are being called to live and act better, but I still have all my old habits and hang-ups and problems and issues and preconceived ideas and notions. And that those two things, my old self, calling it the flesh, and my new self, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, they are in conflict with one another. They are in conflict. In fact, the rest of the verse says, they are in conflict with each other so that you do not do whatever you want. And I don't know about you, maybe you can relate to this. I remember when I became a Christian, and as I began to grow in my relationship with God. See, before I was a Christian, I knew I made bad choices. I know I sinned. I know I was far off from God. And I know the things that I did were bad. But then I gave my life to Jesus. I became a Christian. And as I began to walk with Jesus, I felt like all I did was sin even more. Anybody relate to that? Like you became a Christian, then now all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I'm sinning even more. But the reality is, I'm not sinning even more. It's just I'm realizing by the Holy Spirit at work that everything I did was sin. That my thoughts, my words, my actions, I'm not worse now that I came to know Christ. It's just that Christ is over here with the Holy Spirit saying, psst, yeah, that's sin. Psst, Paul, you can't say that. That's sin. Psst, don't look at that. That's sin. Psst, hey, that's sin. Psst, that's sin. And all of a sudden, because why? Because there's this conflict. And now as a Christ follower, I have a decision to make. Am I going to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit and let him make me into my new creation? Or am I going to try to continue to fit into my old life, my old ways, and my old flesh? Now, back in the Old Testament, before Christ, people did good so they could check the box. Because if they did bad, there was punishment. But if I did good, there was grace. Now it's different, though. See, in Christ, I want to do good because I want to be better. I don't do good to get better. I want to be better because I have a God who can make me better. And that's the last part in verse 18. It says this, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I'm no longer obligated so that I don't face wrath and punishment from God, but now more so, I want to be better. I want to do better. See, the only way to conquer my flesh is to yield and surrender to the Spirit. And when I walk by the Spirit, as the scripture said, right, that implies both the direction that I am going and also that I am empowered. In other words, that I'm making decisions and choices according to the Holy Spirit's guidance in my life, and I'm acting with the spiritual power that the Spirit supplies to do that. That I'm literally going to be walking, according to scripture, this different way, a better pattern of conduct in my life, in all areas, in my mind, in my words, in my actions, in my relationships. And I'm going to stop trying to give in to the desires of my flesh. And when we say the flesh, we're not just talking about like our bodily cravings, like, hey, I'd like pizza later. And now four of you are like, that sounds pretty good, actually. But into the desires of a fallen humanity. See, being led by the Spirit, it implies an active, personal involvement by the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're in this together, and it's present tense. Like, if I'm, man, we're walking together. It indicates ongoing. It's not like, well, I walked with the Spirit, I got to the destination, and now I'm done. No, 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 no. We are continuing to go together in God's direction. That the Spirit is active, and he's a presence in the life of believers. And he says, listen, you no longer are under the law. You no longer have to live according to your old flesh. You don't have to fall like that anymore. You have the power of the Holy Spirit transforming you. And you can live and act and be better. And you can literally walk being led in that direction, away from my sinful human instincts that I would naturally gravitate toward. Now, to make it even clearer, the Apostle Paul, in just the next few verses, oh my gosh. Hey, I just want to warn you, children's ministry is right out those doors. Because there's going to be some interesting conversations on the ride home. Because some of your kids are going to say, Mommy, what does that word mean? And I just want you to know, don't blame this Paul. It's the words of the Apostle Paul. I know it's hard to get the two of us confused. Just saying. But the Apostle Paul is going to paint for us a picture. And in the next few verses, what he's going to say is, this is what the flesh looks like. This is what people who live and act in a sinful nature, far and separate from God. And this is what people who have been born again and have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit look and act and sound like. And so as we go through this list, let's just let it speak for itself on the actions we see in ourselves. So Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. He says, now the acts of the flesh, they're obvious. They're sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Man, what a great word, debauchery. Now, some of you may not know what that word means, and you're like, that's a great word, Pastor Paul. What does it mean? I'm glad you asked. Now, debauchery by its nature implies, in the beginning, this idea of sexual immorality and impurity. But it will go further, and it's saying, in other words, that it is living so out of control that nothing is off limits, everything is okay, and you are spinning so far from God because you are indulging in every sick, perverted, or